Hello and welcome. I'm Stuart McCullough. I'm the CEO of VHAA. I'm joined today by Tim Nagel, the Manager of Workplace Relations Services, and the purpose of this podcast is to discuss the changes that are proposed to the Safe Patient Care Nurse-to-Patient and Midwife-to-Patient Ratio Act 2015. A written summary of these changes has already been provided to members through Bulletin 2320 on the 22nd of August. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Stuart. Good to be here. So you were talking about some amendments to the Safe Patient Care Act. What changes are proposed?
So broadly speaking, there are 14 changes that are proposed, but the first thing to note is that the changes that are proposed are in distinct phases.
Oh, so they come in over a time period?
That's correct.
Okay. So when do the various phases come into effect?
So phase one comes into effect on the 1st of March 2019, phase two on the 1st of March 2020, phase three on the 1st of March 2021. There's a little bit of a variance there in terms of the rounding method where there is a longer period of time, but we'll get to that in a moment.
So you said there were 14 key changes. What's the first one?
So since we've mentioned the rounding method, let's begin with that, the rounding method.
And so what are the changes to the rounding method?
So commonly that was referred to the 50% rule, and depending on which side of the line you fell, you either rounded up or you rounded down. In simple terms, with a couple of exceptions, over time you will no longer be allowed to round down, you must round up.
And are there any exceptions to that?
Yeah, so there are some limited exceptions, and those exceptions will be to high care residential aged care on the AM and PM shifts only, and rehab night duty.
Are there any other exceptions?
They are the only exceptions. So to borrow a phrase, the only way is up.
And what impact will they have?
So a couple of impacts spring to mind. The first impact is that obviously there'll be a need for more nurses and more midwives, and that has a financial impact. Mm. There have been commitments that have been made to fund additional nurses and midwives to support these changes. The second obvious impact concerns workforce, in the sense that there'll be a need to ensure that there is an available workforce to meet the needs of those ratios, that they're ready and available, not just in metropolitan Melbourne, but in rural and regional areas also.
Just on the point of the workforce implications, and obviously that's an important issue, will the change to rounding be implemented all at once, or will that be in stages?
Yeah, so I mentioned before that there are the three phases, but when it comes to the rounding method, there is a staggered implementation over a period of time. So those changes will be implemented over the period of March 2019 through to March 2023.
So it's good that there is a staggered introduction, but March 2019 is not very far away. What are the changes that will propose to have effect from that date?
Yeah, so let's start with level one and two hospitals for all shifts. The changes to the rounding rule from March 2019 are proposed to apply in general medical or surgical wards, coronary care units, high dependency units, operating theatres and post-anaesthetic recovery rooms.
So that's for all shifts from March 2019 for the level one and level two hospitals?
That's correct.
Yeah. And how do I know if I'm a level one or two hospital?
Yeah, look, it's in the Act. Specifically, you'll find it at Schedule 1 of the Act, and it's hospital-specific. That is, if your health service has a number of hospitals, not all of those hospitals will be at the same level. They may vary within a health service. So it's worth just referring to that schedule to determine whether a particular hospital is at a particular level.
And are there any other areas that are affected by the rounding changes from March 2019?
Yeah, there are. And there are some night duty changes that will impact level three and level four hospitals.
And what are the effect of the changes in the level three and level four hospitals from the March 2019 date?
Yes, so starting with level three hospitals and night duty, the changes to the rounding rule from March 2019 will apply to general medical and surgical wards, coronary care units, high dependency units, operating theatres and post-anaesthetic recovery rooms.
What about emergency departments?
Well, just before emergency departments, level four hospitals. It's a similar list. Again, the changes to the rounding rule, which are proposed from March 2019 for level four hospitals in night duty only, for acute ward, coronary care unit, high dependency unit, operating theatre and post-anaesthetic recovery room.
Okay. And which takes us to emergency departments?
It does indeed. So the change to the rounding method will apply to hospitals specified in Part 1 of Schedule 3 for all shifts in emergency departments from March 2019.
Okay. What about other hospitals?
Still sticking with emergency departments, the March 2019 rounding method changes for hospitals specified in Part 2 or 3 of Schedule 3 and those hospitals to whom Section 20, Subsection 5 applies, and that's hospitals with greater than 7,000 presentations, other than those in Schedule 3, on night shift only, the rounding rule will change for those emergency departments also from 1 March 2019.
Okay. Anywhere else?
Yes. For all hospitals and night duty only, the rounding method will change for aged high care residential wards.
So in terms of workforce being a potential issue from the implementation dates, what occurs if hospitals can't recruit?
Yes, so firstly, there are a couple of points to make. Firstly, that there is something of a transition period built into the proposed changes of about 6 months. Specifically, it's proposed that the local dispute clause, clause 41 of the Act, be amended effectively to prevent disputes arising before the 31st of August 2019. So it's kind of a grace period to 2019.
And they had that in the previous, the initial Act, didn't they?
The same idea, it's the same idea applied again, except 31 August 2019 is the key date.
Yeah, and what happens if, despite best endeavours, hospitals still can't recruit at that date?
Yeah, look, that takes us really back to first principles. The Act contains civil penalty provisions. And that is, a penalty can be imposed for breaching ratios. However, the Act provides that the Magistrates Court can only impose a penalty where the non-compliance is willful and serious. Mm-hmm. And although I'm not aware that this has been tested, I would expect and I would hope that a genuine workforce shortage would not be viewed as willful and serious.
And so in terms of the rounding rule, when are the next rounding rule changes?
So I think your question is, when is the next round of rounding rule changes?
That would be it.
It's in March 2020, and it goes successive marches through to 2023. But because March 2020 will be here before we know it, the list that we went through before of general medical or surgical for level three hospitals, or acute in the case of level four, CCUs, HDUs, theatre and post-anaesthetic recovery rooms. In March 2020, the change to the rounding method applies to those places on morning shifts for level three and four hospitals. The rounding method is also amended for night shifts in all hospitals, in palliative care inpatient units and GEM beds, and morning shifts in EDs in hospitals specified in Part 2 or Part 3 of Schedule 3.
Are there any further stages in 21, 22 or 23?
So just to reiterate, it's the 1st of March each year for 19, 20, 21, 22 and 23. So it's a graduated implementation of that change to the rounding method.
So that's all to do with the rounding method. So that's done. What's the next change?
Well, just before we move on to the next item, one of the interesting things about that change to the rounding rule is what effect it might have on the on ward configuration over a period of time. And I guess only time will tell how that impacts. But in terms of the other changes that are proposed under the amendment bill, there's the issue of mixed wards.
Yeah, so there's some changes to mixed wards. I mean, we already have mixed wards under the current Act, so GEM and rehab, for instance.
Yeah, so we have those couple of examples. So Section 24 of the current Act provides a method for determining the ratio for GEM and rehab mixed wards. There are also provisions for Level 4 hospitals with acute beds and high care residents.
So the Act, the amendment, the proposed amendment to the Act seeks to make a general rule for mixed wards?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's by way of determining a specific ratio to a particular mixed ward based on the beds and then a process to review that ratio on a set periodic basis. That means that the existing rules for GEM and rehab and for level four hospitals are proposed to go. They'll be replaced in favour of this general mixed wards provision.
So in effect, the Act seeks to introduce a common rule for mixed wards.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's by way of determining a specific ratio for a specific mixed ward. And that would occur then on an ongoing and periodic basis. What it means is that the existing rules for GEM and rehab and for level four hospitals are proposed to go in favour of that general mixed ward approach.
And how would the ratios be set?
So just in terms of that, it's important just to identify that what we're talking about are configured mixed wards. We're not talking about outliers. So, for example, if a ward has two specialties, and under the bill they're referred to as portions, that is two configurations or two parts where there are different ratios that would apply, what you do is you apply the relevant ratio to each of those individual portions.
And what if it doesn't divide neatly?
It gets a little bit tricky if that's the case. So if one of the portions provides for rounding down, then you can round down that portion.
So rounding down, that seems to be at odds with our earlier discussion about rounding up.
A little bit, but there's more to come on that point.
Okay. So what's next?
So once you've applied the relevant ratios to the portions of the mixed ward, you add the staff together and divide by the number of occupied beds to get your ratio.
And what if it doesn't work out neatly?
So before, where we were talking about the original approach, which is if one of the portions has a rounding down provision, you round down.
Yep.
At this point in the process, opposite way around.
Right.
If one of the portions provides for rounding up, then you round up.
And so that gets your ratio. How will people know what the applicable ratio is?
Yeah, so the bill imposes some new requirements in that respect. First of all, to undertake that calculation based on the configuration on a six-monthly basis, being in February and August of each year, but then to publish the results on the hospital's internet site. And that's really the mechanism by which the ratio for a specific mixed ward becomes known.
And what happens if an employer wants to reconfigure a mixed ward other than in February and August? What happens then?
So we know that wards don't get reconfigured on a six-monthly basis, nor do reconfigurations conform to that kind of timetable.
Yes.
So you can still reconfigure, but if you do reconfigure and change your mix, the practical effect is that you will need to recalculate and republish.
Yes. And what effect will that have?
So having a ward-specific ratio is a big change.
Yes.
And it's worth emphasising that this is for designated mixed wards and not outliers, and it's not on a shift-by-shift basis.
I think that's an important point, isn't it?
Mm.
What about emergency departments?
So there are some changes with regards to emergency departments, one of which is there's a formula in the existing Act that some health services can use when there are fewer presentations than expected, and the bill seeks to repeal that formula.
And what impact will that have?
So it's hard to say. It's unclear to what extent that formula is used at all, and if it is used at all, how much. So difficult to gauge the impact of that proposed repeal.
Mm. Anything else for the emergency departments?
Yeah, there is, in the context of resuscitation beds, namely a one-to-one ratio.
So resuscitation beds are usually staffed on a one-to-one basis anyway. What about a circumstance where health services use a resuscitation bed for some other purpose?
So we know it's not uncommon for health services to use available points of care in a flexible way, including resuscitation beds. So importantly, the term resuscitation bed is defined as one that's allocated in that way and being used for that purpose.
So that bed can still be used for another purpose, for instance, for non-critical patients?
Correct.
And that ratio wouldn't apply?
Correct. It can still be used flexibly.
So can the nurse be used elsewhere if the resuscitation bay is not being used for a resuscitation?
Yes, they can, but they have to be available to return to the resuscitation bed. There's an important thing to note, though, that these changes to ratios for resuscitation beds are phase three changes. That is, they won't take effect until March 2021.
And are there any new ratios in the bill?
Yeah, there are some new ratios, and these are ratios where nurses currently work, but their ratios are being proposed to be brought into the Act for the first time, including for acute stroke wards, oncology wards and haematology wards.
And are those terms defined under the Act or the Bill?
Yeah, look, each of those terms are defined.
So we're really talking about designated wards and not just any ward that has, for example, a stroke patient. We talked about the outliers earlier.
Yeah, that's right. So these changes are all proposed in phase two, which takes effect from March 2020. Changes to palliative care ratios are also phase two changes taking effect from that date.
What about birthing suites, ante and postnatal?
So there's quite a few changes in that space. You may recall that the Act had ratios for special care nurseries that only contemplated nurses, and postnatal wards that only contemplated midwives, which didn't necessarily match existing models of care.
And I recall that we did a lot of local agreements to try and preserve the status quo within the field.
Yeah, that's right. So the amendments deal with the circumstances that permit staffing with either a nurse or a midwife, subject to some conditions.
And what are the conditions?
So in a special care nursery, a nurse or midwife must have completed at least 64 hours employment per fortnight over 12 months, or 64 hours placement in a special care nursery on a supernumerary basis if they're to count in the ratio.
Okay. And postnatal?
So a nurse allocated to a postnatal ward must have completed at least 48 hours placement in a postnatal ward on a supernumerary basis and be undertaking a postgraduate midwifery program in the course of the nurse's employment by the hospital.
And anything else?
Yes, look, in both instances, the employer must also satisfy the prescribed requirements.
And what are they?
So we don't know as yet. Effectively, by having that provision for prescribed requirements, it enables additional conditions to be imposed through regulation rather than a change to the Act.
Okay. So I see delivery suites have now been changed to birthing suites?
That's correct.
And like the mixed ward provisions, there's a periodic process that requires the employer to review the amount of beds occupied and publish that?
Yeah, and the key dates again, February and August. There are a number of matters that health services need to take into account in determining the number of occupied birthing suites for the purposes of publishing that information. Also, a relevant union can ask for the information that forms the basis for that determination.
And what if they disagree?
It's a really good point. One of the challenges that we have is some of these changes mean that there's more area for contest, more scope for disagreement. And whilst the Act does provide for the resolution of local disputes, it's very different to the Fair Work Commission dispute resolution process that we're also familiar with.
So the other thing the Act or the proposal does is to repeal sections 33, 34 and 35 of the Act. What was the purpose of these sections?
So sections 33, 34 and 35 are in effect the old Clause 42 provisions.
So Clause 42 was from the previous agreement, which allowed an employer to propose changes to the distribution of nurses or to use an alternative staffing model.
That's correct.
If they address certain conditions, that's right. So they've been, it's proposed that they're repealed?
That's right.
And what does this mean, therefore, in practical terms for employers?
In practical terms, it means that a variation, redistribution, or an alternative staffing model can be pursued only through a local agreement. It means that it will be necessary to reach agreement with a relevant union. That is, you will need the consent of a relevant union.
So that's a significant change?
It is. And what it means is that we're moving away, really, from what ratios were under the 2012 Enterprise Agreement and before that to something else. So, yes, it is possible to do those things, but you need agreement. So the options are limited.
Is there anything else under the proposed bill?
Yeah, look, there are three hospitals that are being prescribed as level one hospitals, whereas previously they're at a different level or they didn't exist. at the time that the Act was first brought into operation.
So we're talking Sunshine, Monash Children's and Casey?
That's correct.
So that's a brief overview of the bill. What happens next?
So it's still a bill. It hasn't yet been passed into law. And the bill needs to work its way through the Victorian Parliament, just like any other bill. And what will happen is, on the basis of whatever is passed into law, we'll be updating members. We'll be updating members as to the progress, both through bulletins and the VHA community app. But more importantly, if it comes to implementation, we'll be providing material to members to support that implementation, particularly around these new rules, these periodic reporting rules and the criteria that people need to take into account, and the interaction between that and the phased changes for the rounding rules. But I would direct members back to Bulletin 2320 if they have any queries to contact our office, to keep their eyes peeled on the VHA community app, but we'll be doing more activities to support the implementation of any changes. So thank you for taking the time to go through that with me today, Tim.
Thanks for having me, Stuart.